Welcome to
In It Together.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Courtney. And this is our podcast where we discuss mental health and self-improvement from a couple's perspective.
Hello, hello.
We're back.
So what are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about subconscious sabotage when you need space and you don't know how to ask for it. And this is wild to me. Our oldest mentioned it. So that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, this is kind of near and dear to our hearts because of our oldest. And if you followed the podcast, if you're new to the podcast, we have to give a little bit of backstory on our oldest daughter and how this whole thing came about. Because I think it's important to give a little bit of backstory so people understand. And then we can kind of go into what subconscious sabotage for space actually is. And, you know, is it good? Is it bad? We're going to explore that.
So what history do we want to give? What do you think is going to be helpful for them?
Well, I think just a little bit of, you know, our oldest came to us or came to you and said, this is what I think you're doing, right? And it kind of clicked in your in your head. It was a light bulb moment. So talk a little bit about that. And I'll talk a little bit about, like, again, just for our listener, our longtime listeners that have heard us talk about. Yeah, about our oldest. I'll fill them in a little bit on what's been going on. But let's just start with how this all came about.
Well, the other day, my oldest, she's 29. We're outside. We're just having like a cup of tea. And we do this. We always find time to talk every single day. It's like 45 minutes, an hour. It can go forever. And she says to me, you know, I was thinking about something. You think you ever just, I don't know, make yourself so intolerable or annoying that people just don't want to be around you and then you can get your space? And I'm looking at her like, excuse you? And then I was like, hold on a second. Wow, that's mind blowing. And she's like, no, you know, I don't want you to take that wrong. She's like, she starts cracking up and she's like, I realize that's what I did. And I'm like, no way. And she's like, yeah, it's like when you feel bad asking for space, or you've done all the things for everybody and you just like want your alone time and you don't know how to do it, you just subconsciously make yourself intolerable, annoying, clingy, or detached, or like you're ignoring someone, like, oh, just go away. And you don't realize you're doing it, but it's just because you want your space. And then all of a sudden, you get your space and you're happy, and you return back to those said people and they're looking at you like, okay. And when we were having that conversation, I thought it was wild and it was mind blowing because I had never thought about that.
Yeah. And to give a little bit of just back history on this situation, we're a blended family. I have two older kids from a different relationship, but she's been with us since she was what, six, seven?
Well, I met her when she was about 7 and a half.
Yeah. And so, you know, for the most part, when she was, what, 12, she came to live with us full time.
Yeah, 12.
So, you know, she's been with in our familial environment since then. So, you know, you're stepmom, but you've always been mom to her.
Nah, I'm mom.
Yeah, so just
ain't no stepping nothing here.
So, yeah, so we're a blended family here. And there was a time, you know, she was, when she hit those teen years, it was a struggle.
It was tough.
So it's been tough. And if you've listened to us for a long time in the past, we've kind of touched upon that. She, you know, once she got to 18, 19, it was estranged from us. Actually, she was more 20.
18, 19, she wanted to move out, spread her wings, and, you know, she'd come back from time to time. But it was right around 25-ish that she was estranged for about 3 years. She just needed her space.
Yeah, and exactly.
That sucked. We'll have to do a whole podcast on that.
No, but again, just giving a little bit of backstory. She was estranged from us. If you heard us refer to her in some of our old episodes, she's back in the fold. She's come back. And what she came to realize is that she needed that time away to find herself, to find who she was, to understand who she was, to grow up a little bit more and come home and then appreciate what she had and what we tried to give to her as parents. It's the dynamic has changed so completely.
So different.
Yeah, from her, like, you know, not seeing her for like almost 3-4 years and not hearing from her. You know, I'd hear from her randomly time to time, But she was really estranged from the family. And I used to tell you this all the time. She'll, you know, I used to say, she'll be back.
I didn't believe you.
And yeah, you had a really tough time. Yeah, you had a really tough time. Because she was your baby, you know, she was, you know, before we had kids,
she was the one that showed me what love was. I could tell you what each kid gave to me. She showed me what love was.
So it did hit you hard. But she came back and our relationship is grown tremendously because she recognizes a lot of things. She understands a lot. She's found herself. And that's where she came up with this subconscious sabotage.
And, you know,
because she understood that a part of what she did was that, right? She
exactly
was in a good family. She had good support systems, but she needed her space, and she had to sabotage a good thing for her to gain that space, or what she thought was what she needed to do to gain that space, to find her own autonomy. And I think we do that as human beings, obviously subconsciously, we'll sabotage good things in our lives, not because we don't want good things, but sometimes we need the space to be able to appreciate what we have.
And you're too close to it. You know, it's hard. I got good parents. I got all my needs met. I have great siblings. I have all these things. How am I supposed to kind of walk away from, like, it made it a challenge. And so when she talked to me about that, I realized it's this subconscious strategy, right? We come up with these strategies of being passive or shutting down or, you know, not showing interest when someone's trying to talk to us because we're like, oh, just go away. Sometimes we're conscious of that, but oftentimes it's this, you know, deep down self-sabotage. If I can just sabotage all this connection that I have right now, I can disconnect and be with myself so I don't have to feel selfish about what I'm doing, right? And these all these different things that can pop up. And, you know, when she said that to me, I really started to sit with that. And it's been stuck on my mind. I had to have been doing that.
Yeah, and these behaviors are rooted in some psychology in terms of like, and I think I brought this up to you before as well, that, and you've obviously educated me on certain things, you know, children of abuse, of sexual abuse in particular, will let their hygiene go, or they'll do certain things subconsciously to make themselves less available to their predator. And I think to a lesser degree, this kind of falls in that same spectrum. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. It's a survival pattern, especially kids that have been through what you just said, these traumas. If their hygiene goes, if they eat a lot and they're no longer the same physical frame that they had when their abuse was happening, maybe they're bigger now. They feel like they can protect themselves in that sense. And in this particular situation, when we're talking about this subconscious sabotage for space, you know, I started to realize when I was little, I'd ask for space and I'd get punished for it. You know, I'd want to be alone and I was called antisocial, or you're so awkward, or why do you want to go and do that? Why do you want to go run away and hide in your room? So in time, I think I built, okay, asking for space and wanting to be alone makes other people feel bad, and I got punished for it. So I had to find the subconscious way of trying to get my space. And I can tell you this, well, actually, you can answer this question. When you see that, if I'm had of a few days or I'm going through something, when I go to the studio for several hours and I come back, do I feel different to you?
Yeah, absolutely. You feel,
'cause I had my space.
Yeah, you feel rejuvenated, and you know, sometimes we burn out. That's everyone. Everyone gets to the point where your batteries run low and you need to recharge. So we all need space. We all need space to recharge. There's certain things that fill our cup, and we tend to look for those things, right? And hopefully is that, you know, some people find it in destructive ways, and then there's obviously positive ways that you can recharge. And that's important that you're looking for those positive ways. But space or that alone time is always going to be a positive thing. But when you're in a situation where you don't feel like you can have your space or your time, and that goes, you know, moms especially, right? Your mom has to take care of the kids, you know, still go to work every day, come home and take care of the home. Or, you know, the role can be reversed. It could be dad that's handling all these things and these, you know, demands on their time. So having that time to disconnect and find the space that you need to recharge is important. And sometimes when we don't have the ability to do that, we will do this. We will subconsciously sabotage our environment because we're needing that space and we don't know how to gain that. And, you know, again, our primitive minds will go into this type of behavior. Would you say it's destructive to do this?
Oh, this is destructive. Before I get there, hold that thought for me. It is destructive. But I was just thinking, you know, again, I think people are going to eat me up for saying this. But sometimes we see like a lot of moms being like, oh, I wish I could be my husband. And he just comes home and walks right past the family and goes right into the room. And, you know, you get angry and stuff. But I took a step back and I started to see that I think when we look at how brains are, you know, wired and different things. And again, I can only truly speak from us having our, you know, we have our relationship. I identify female, you identify male, right? We have a traditional marriage. This is what's helpful for us. This is what we understand. So I can only speak on that. But I can say that I used to get mad, like, oh, like, you know, you sometimes would come in, you know, you'd need your space. But instead of being mad, I realized I was envious because you could easily take that for yourself. And I felt like I couldn't because I felt like I was overly needed, you know, if that makes sense. And I think sometimes some people just do a better job of like, I just worked 10 hours and I was just in traffic for an hour. I don't want to see another human. And they just want to come in and go off and take their space. And we look at it like, oh, that must be nice. I've been home with them all day and all these things. And yeah, there's truth to both sides. But when you can see both angles, you can see that it's not always done from a place of malice or not caring. Sometimes it's survival, it's protection, because your nervous system just knows I can't take someone out. I don't want to be called dad today. Like, I remember I would get so stressed out. I was like, can I have any other name but mom today? Like, let's work this out here. So I'm glad you mentioned that. And then to answer your question, yes, this can be destructive. There's a cost that happens when you subconsciously sabotage for space, right? You can feel guilt and shame, and you're not actually relaxing if you're beating yourself up, because it's just a survival strategy. So instead of actually having space to feel good, you're just in some form of fight or flight surviving because, you know, there was a destructive element to your intention there.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's talk a little bit about what this looks like, right? So how does this manifest in people? Because we're talking about these, you know, ideas. So just give a practical application of what this would look like when you are, so we can recognize, because that's ultimately what we want to do, right? We want to recognize if we're self-sabotaging. We want to recognize if we're doing it, obviously, subconsciously.
Yeah.
You know, there's an unfulfilled need that we need to address. And obviously, that in this particular case, that need is space. So give us some practical, what does this look like in human behavior?
All right. So here's what I want to tell people is, if you start to feel this push-pull, I want closeness, I want space. Like, you feel a little clingy, but like you don't, you're playing this little game, right? And you're kind of ping-ponging a push-pull with anybody in your home. That is a clear-cut sign of, I need some space. Because it's like, I want it, but like, I really don't, but I want to be over here. So if you start to see a push-pull going on, I'm not talking about an anxious attachment, disorganized attachment bond that you may have, although that will be another podcast because I'll follow up with that. But I'm talking about this push-pull of, hey, I feel like I should, but I don't want to. That is telling you need to take some space. If you forget or surpass that signal that you get to yourself, the next thing you want to look at is if you start ramping up into chaos. If you start becoming irritable, or you're ramping up, or you're huffy, or you're puffy, or that is a key indicator that your nervous system is overstimulated. And that can look a lot like, let's hypothetically say, I'm going to speak as a mom. You're sitting down, you're cooking breakfast, or lunch or whatever, you're cooking something, you're exhausted. You've already been asked 900 questions that day, and you're just hoping to cut up that carrot, just nice and quiet, listen to your music, and your kids coming over to you, wanting to show you things and talking to you. And instead of stopping what you're doing and being like, hey, is it okay if I have about 15 minutes to do what I'm doing here? And then when I have some time, I can give you my attention. Instead of doing that, you're like, uh-huh. Or you like don't answer them right away. or you're like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's nice. And you're kind of, that is a key indicator right there. You are subconsciously sabotaging this connection with this child that you absolutely love to death because you need space. And you can't, or you feel like you can't ask your child for that. So instead, you give them the subconscious message that I'm not wanted. That's where the destruction era, that's where that comes in. And that's what that can look like. I'm sure as a dad, you can totally understand. Or even as a husband, there's probably times where you're like, get away from me, Courtney. And you just, I mean, no, hold on, let me take a step back. You're so good at telling me you need space. This does not apply to you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I even brought you in on this.
Yeah, I know we're kind of, I hate to say traditional, but we are kind of a traditional relationship. But that by no means means that you have to have a traditional relationship.
No.
And we, just because we fall into these traditional roles doesn't mean that that's happens to every couple. You know, there's so many different spectrums of what a relationship can be. And even between, you know, female, male, there's, you know, there's we're not gonna even go into the gender biases or anything, any of those things. But just understand that this could be, you know, it could be swapped, and it could be dad, you know, that has a problem with asking for space, and that feels like overcommitted to everyone in the family. And has to be like the leaning ear. It, you know, I'm sure there's dads out there that do that all the time, and the same thing with moms. So, you know, the we're not talking about particular gender roles or anything like that. We're just talking about the dynamics within our family, which might be different for you guys in your family, but the same principles apply.
Yeah.
When you start to see these things happen, it's important to advocate for this space. And what's most important is that you're recognizing those things happening, because the first step to doing any of this stuff is to be able to recognize, acknowledge what's going on, bring it from subconscious to conscious awareness. And at that point, then you can put an action plan in place to get what this, because really it happens subconsciously because there's this unmet need. And that's where we want to get to.
Yeah, and I just want to add that at several points, we've been together, it feels like 10 lifetimes, well, 22 years now, right? But our relationship has fluctuated between traditional and non-traditional. We've taken on different roles. I want people to understand that too, is that families can shift their roles. You know, there was a point in time where you were, you know, and you talk about this in another episode, you were the stay-at-home dad for a while, and I was out there, or you were handling this, and I was handling that. So, you know, I just want to clarify so that people can understand that, like with anything, we can kind of come out of things. And with what you just said, you made a really good point. You got to know, like for me, self-awareness was really tough. It was really hard for me to know that I was actually causing my own chaos. It was self-defined chaos. And that was so tough. But that really is the first step. The first step is that. But beyond that, there is a little pre-work that you want to do. It's, after listening to this podcast, it's sitting down and saying, geez, what are some situations that sound familiar from what Courtney and Jay were talking about? Write down those situations. You know, so-and-so came over to me this is how I responded. And then go back. How was I feeling that day? Did I want some space? Did I want to be spoken to? And then once you've done that, which is a little shadow work, you're going to be able to be like, oh my God, it looks like 7 out of 10 times, I just needed a 10-minute break from myself. There's your awareness. Now you're aware that that can happen to you. So the next time you're sitting there cutting up the carrots and you're making yourself your famous meatballs for your family or whatever it is that you're doing, you're going to say, wait a minute, your kid's going to come over, they're going to say something to you, and it's going to be a little tiny light bulb moment. That's where you take pause. That's where you take a deep breath. That's where you stop what you're doing. You say, you know what, honey? I want to give you my undivided attention. And whatever you made is so super cool, but I can't give you that right now. How about after dinner, we spend a half hour together where you can tell me all about it. You've asked for space. You have validated your need for space. Your inner self is going to feel so good. Your kiddo is going to be like, oh my God, special time with mom or dad. And I get to tell him all these great, amazing things. There's no shame. There's no guilt. Boom, you've done it. Does that mean that the next time you might do it? I don't know. Probably not. If you're like me, you're gonna be making those mistakes and picking yourself up. But that's where it starts. And that's how you get to find the unmet need, is by just asking yourself, what did I need in that moment? It's reflection.
Absolutely. That's a great action plan. That's you covered everything It starts with self-awareness, bringing the subconscious to the conscious forefront, and then doing what you did, right? Creating that action plan where you can say, hey, this is how I'm going to approach this situation next time, right? And that it could be with your child, it could be with your spouse, it could be with a coworker or anyone. Once you recognize that you need that, you have that need for space, understanding how to advocate for that in a way that's constructive, that doesn't isolate the people around you, and everyone understands that you're just looking to better yourself and bring connection to the situation.
I do want to say one thing, and that's as parents or as a mother, I think sometimes I have to always entertain my kids. And that's part of like, oh, I don't want to do that because I didn't have that growing up. So I over entertain, I over nurture. And the reality is that kids just need to be included. They don't need. So if you're chopping up a salad, it's like, hey, handle these cucumbers for mom. Go over here and do this. They can feel part of things, right? And you can still have your space without having to use your, you know, mental cognitions to listen to what they did on building something or, you know, drawing 62 pictures of the same thing over and over and wanting to show you. That's where your freedom comes in. It's when you know yourself and you know why you're feeling how you're feeling.
Yeah, that's a perfect ending to this. I think you hold on to that saying. I've heard you say that several times. Kids need to be included, not entertained. And that's an important distinction. And we'll talk a bit more about that on a parenting podcast. I think it's important for our listeners to get more of that insight. And also, I'm hoping that we can get our oldest in here to talk a little bit about her journey and, you know, how it is different now being an adult, you know, and dealing with us as an adult.
Because she sees us totally different now.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll come back to that. I hope you guys got something out of this podcast. Till next time, guys, just stay safe.
So guys, if you aren't following me already, you can find me on TikTok at ask.courtney, on Instagram at ask.courtney_, and on YouTube at ask.courtney. And if you'd like to be a guest on a future podcast, you can reach us at podcast@epiphanymedia.com.
We'd love to hear your stories, guys, so make sure to reach out. And as always, we're all in this together, so stay safe.
Remember, there's no shame in asking for help.
Till next time.